Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Good morning, saints. I had to say that because tomorrow, as you may know, Pope Francis is going to elevate, is what he says, is what the news people said. He is going to elevate John Paul II and Pope Paul the 23rd to sainthood. He's going to make them saints tomorrow. And I just said, good morning, saints, because you are the true saints, and you didn't even have to go to Rome to get it. This past Monday, we finished the days of unleavened bread, the Passover season. The world itself, they finished their Easter. And it makes me wonder, why don't they understand the truth? Why don't they get it? You know, it's in the Bible, and there's so much in the news around Easter and these other holidays that they're just pagan. But you know, for some reason, it just doesn't seem to sink in. They just keep on going the same old way. The fact is, they do not know the true God, the living God. I'll read a few verses that shows that. Jesus says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. John says that Christ was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. Paul says in Corinthians, the world through wisdom did not know God. Another place it says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world does not know God. And let's look at John 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And verse 25. And this is Jesus Christ in His prayer. And in verse 25 of John 17, Christ says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Now you go back up to verse 3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. I like what it says in Jeremiah. It says, the true God, the living God. And Paul said in Thessalonians, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And in Jeremiah it says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. And you know, you are the saints, and you do know the true God. You know the living God. I want to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse 20. Romans 1 verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm going to read that verse from some other translations. The Old King James just says, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The New Living Translation, I like the way they put it. They said, from the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. The New Jerusalem Bible says, ever since the creation of the world, the invisible existence of God and His everlasting power have been clearly seen by the mind's understanding of created things. So these people, they have no excuse. The Latin Vulgate Bible says, since earliest times, men have seen the earth and sky and all God made, and have made known of His existence and great eternal power. And it says to those in the world, so they will have no excuse when they stand before God on Judgment Day. Now, in verse 21 says, because they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. This they, when in the New Testament or in the Bible, when it talks about they, it's usually talking about the world. When it says we or us, it's talking about the church. Now, we can know God by looking at the things that are created. But the truth is, no one knows all there is to know about God. You take all the 7 billion people or whatever there is on the earth today, there's not one of them that know all there is to know about God. God says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. But God does want every one of us to be close to Him. James, the half-brother of Christ, he says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're to grow in knowledge, we're to draw near to God, and we are to try to learn all we can and to know as much as we can about God. And I believe that everyone here has a desire to know God a lot better. So today I want to look at one way, just one way we can use to know God better. The title of the message today is Looking at the Attributes of God. I have a list here of 23 attributes of God. Back in Romans 1 here, where we were at, it says, for the sense of creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead. So, His eternal power and His Godhead, His deity, those are just two of the attributes. And there's probably hundreds. I have a list of, I think, 23 here. And I just want to mention a few other attributes of God. God is eternal. He's never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He is infinite. He fills the universe. He is everywhere. He is all-powerful, which we'll look into that one a little bit later. God is invisible. You can't see Him. He is invisible. He is self-existent. He does not need anything from us or anybody. He is self-sufficient. It says in Isaiah, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't ask you for anything. God doesn't need anything from anybody. We need everything from Him. God is majestic, awesome, glorious. The word majestic is listed 68 times in the King James Version. And most of those times refer to God. Not every one of them, but most of them refer to God. He is majestic. He is truthful. He cannot lie. One thing that we usually don't think of as an attribute of God is He is wrathful. He is a God of wrath on sin. God hates sin. He cannot be where sin is at. And there's 10 times in the Old King James where it talks about the wrath of God. And the word wrath itself, I believe, is like 190-some times. And most of that is referring to God. Now, the point of the message today is, if we would take just one of these attributes a day, just spend a couple minutes Take one attribute a day. Look at the verses in the Bible that talks about that attribute. And then perhaps when we're praying, we could pray about it. And if we just take a few minutes to do that, and like I said, there's hundreds of these attributes of God. So over a period of time, we can see how that is going to help us to come to know God better. And it's also going to help us to grow closer and closer to Him. We'll go to Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5. It talks about God is all-powerful, omnipotent, as they say. He has all the power in the universe. So, talking about taking each one of these attributes and looking at some verses and then thinking about them, meditating on them, that's what I want to do with just a couple of them here to show you what I mean. Psalms 147, 4 and 5, it says, He counts the numbers of the star. He calls them all by name. Now, we're talking about His being powerful, how powerful He is. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. There's no end to His understanding. He knows everything. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And we'll look at verse 11 through 13. Again, we're still talking about His power. It says, Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is Yours. Yours, O kingdom, O Lord, and You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from You, and You reign over all. In Your hand is power and might. There again, power. God is all-powerful. In Your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Then He sums it up here. He says, Now therefore, our God, we thank You and we praise Your glorious name. Now another attribute of God is ever-present or omnipresent, as they say. He is everywhere. There's absolutely no place that you can go that God's not there. David said in Psalms 139, Where can I go flee from Your spirit? You know, if I go to heaven, You are there. If I go into the grave, You are there. If I go out into the middle of the sea, You are there. Anywhere I go, You are there. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, and we'll look at verses 23 and 24. It says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? He's not far off. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Then he says, do not I feel heaven and earth? God is everywhere. There's no place that we could be that He's not there. All we have to do is cry out to Him. Think to Him. In 2 Chronicles, I want to go there. Apologize for so many verses today, but I wanted to get this out that if we could take these attributes and look at the verses in the Bible, and just a couple of them, every day we could do that before we do our normal prayers and Bible studies. It will help us to know more and more about God. 2 Chronicles 6. Second Chronicles 6, and we'll look at verse 18. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? This is Solomon has just built this temple to God. He says, Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain You. How much less this temple which I have built? I have to be honest with you, I don't really understand what that means, that the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Where does he overflow? Where is he at? It's just awesome to think about how great, you know, God truly is. In conclusion, what are the benefits of growing in the grace and knowledge of God and Christ? And what is the benefit of just drawing closer to Him? As James says, draw near to God. Well, for one thing, the more we know God, the more we understand about His character and His ways, our faith can increase. We can have more faith because we truly trust in Him. Our trust will be greater. We'll have less doubts in our life. And as time goes on and things get bad in this world, we're going to need to have more and more faith and trust in God. Third, our belief and our hope can be stronger. Our hope is eternal life and the kingdom of God. So no matter where we are at right now in our spiritual growth, we can always learn more about God. We will never, ever know all there is to know. We just can't. So let's study and strive diligently so we can win the race and inherit eternal life.